Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Some of the Lord's promises to His faithful overcomers are quite regal and heavenly. But among the final promises is that His overcomers would eat of the hidden manna. This hidden portion is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 9, and if you have never considered such a matter, you will be treated to a feast in today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. This is a gem of a life study today, and we're happy that Gary Kaiser is here to enjoy it with us. Welcome back to the program, Gary.
Thank you, Matt.
Gary, of all the heavenly things that we have seen and discussed in this life study of Hebrews, one of the real treasures, without question, has to do with something as simple and as small as a round wafer that we eat called manna. Gary, give our listeners a little background on manna.
Well, when the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, there was understandably an anxiety among them that came up often concerning eating and drinking. They're out in the middle of a wilderness. There are 2 million of them going through that wilderness. How are they going to have the supply of life? How are they going to eat? Are they going to drink? The second month that they were wandering in the wilderness, on the 15th day, they began to murmur against Moses and Aaron because their thought is, we were there comfortably at our flesh pots in Egypt. Now you brought us out here to die. How are we going to eat? And Moses went to the Lord concerning this burden, this bothering. And the Lord responded by saying, tomorrow I'm going to rain down bread from heaven. That bread from heaven was the source for their living for 40 years in the wilderness. Every day, except for the weekend, the 6th day, they would receive a double supply so that they could have their supply for the Sabbath given to them. They didn't have to go out and collect it that day. But every other day they had to collect it. They could not store it. It had to be a supply for today. If you apply that to us today, we begin to see something very special. And that's the theme of our life study today.
Gary, before we go on and join Witness Lee, let me point out that we're going to be in a very rich and very enjoyable section today that's been compiled, edited, and presented in the Life Study. You've probably heard messages about manna before, so I think this one certainly has the promise of something very fresh. So we recommend the Life Study. Gary, let's go and join Witness Lee.
After God created man, God didn't do anything with man. And God didn't ask man to do anything for him. And God didn't charge man with any commandment. If you read Genesis 1 and 2, you could see after the creation, the basic thing for man to live properly in the presence of God is the matter of eating. How to eat and what to eat is the only thing in the presence of God. Amen. So, In the Bible, eating is a basic concept. God has created everything. Even God has created man. And God can do everything. But one thing God cannot do, that is our eating. You mothers, regardless how much you can do for your children, but one thing you can never do for your children, that is their eating. You cannot eat anything for them. So you see, in the Bible, after God's creation, as far as man was concerned, the basic concept there was nothing but eating. Amen. You have to eat, and you have to eat the proper thing. In Genesis 2, the eating was of the tree of life. But in Exodus chapter 12, was of a lamb. You know, the tree of life is something of the plant, of the vegetable. But the lamb is something of the animal. With the vegetable, with the tree, there's no blood. But with the animal, with the lamb, there is the blood. And we know throughout the whole Bible, the blood is for redemption. At the time of Exodus, the people did two things. Number one, they took the blood and they ate the meat of the lamb. To strike the blood, that is, to get yourself redeemed. And to eat the lamb, that is, to get something into you as your supply. So you see, in the first stage, the eating was only for the supply, but in the second stage, the eating became, number one, for redemption, and also, number two, for the life supply. And then this life supply continued with the people of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years, continued with the eating of manna. And we know, surely there's no blood in the manna. So the eating of manna doesn't relate to redemption, but surely it is absolutely altogether for the life supply. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. How could they live there? And how could they move there? Day by day, they lived and moved by the supply of manna, which they ate all the time.
Gary, the obvious question here must be about eating. Eating was a unique requirement that God gave to Adam and Eve after their creation. Ultimately, it was related to the redemption and life supply of the children of Israel, but what about us, Gary? What's the application here for us?
Well, Matt, I would say the application is exactly the same. It is redemption, and it is a life supply. I was considering the initiation of the new covenant the Lord presented to the disciples, recorded in Matthew 26. Let me read just three verses there, Matthew 26, 26 through 28.
Okay.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat." There we have the word again, eat. "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took a cup and gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is being poured out for many for forgiveness of sins."
Amen.
So the one side is the blood given for many for forgiveness of sins. The other side is the body for nourishment, the eating of the bread for the nourishment. In John chapter 6, there's a powerful discussion the Lord had with the Jews. You may remember that, in fact, almost all the Christians are aware of this particular event, where the Lord Jesus had a large group of people, 5,000, gathered on a hillside, and he was speaking to them and speaking to them, and then he became concerned for their nourishment. He didn't want to send them home hungry. And he sat them down and fed them with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. 5,000 were fed. Everyone sees that as a marvelous testimony of his care and a miracle that was worked. But he used it as a means to introduce a whole nother thought to the Israelites who were attending that feast. They came to him the next day. They wanted to repeat that kind of miracle. And he caught them in that. And he said to them, "Don't seek after the bread that perishes, but seek after that bread which abides to eternal life." He was opening up a whole new vista for them, telling them that he was the bread. They began to question him, saying, "Well, our fathers had the bread from heaven given to them." And the Lord said, "Actually, that wasn't the bread from heaven. I'm the bread from heaven. The ones who would follow me, the ones who would experience me, the ones who would experience eternal life need to drink my blood and eat my flesh." And of course, here is a very powerful word that was responded to by a kind of horror. People began to go away. They couldn't take this. But the Lord said, "The words I'm speaking to you are spirit and life. I'm not speaking to you the flesh. It doesn't profit anything." So this bread that was given to us, that is Christ himself, is for our daily nourishment. We enter into that eating through the blood that was shed so that we have a part in his redeeming grace. But we have to grow in this life, and this means we have to eat of him, take him in.
Gary, this is a wonderful and a marvelous topic and an item that's very central to our Christian life. We're really happy to be bringing this life study to our listeners today. Let's go back to more of Witness Lee.
After God's creation, even in God's redemption, the basic concept for us to be in the presence of God is the matter of eating. Not only so, the whole book of Hebrews is focused on Christ as the heavenly minister to do his kingly and divine priesthood. Amen. To do this, his main ministry is to minister the triune God to us as our supply. And now he is ministering such a wonderful supply, not in the outer court, but in the Holy of Holies. Amen. Not on the cross, but on the throne Amen. Of grace. And we have pointed out this book of Hebrews calls us to come forward, number one, to the Holy of Holies. Number two, to the throne of grace. Number three, to the very God.
Amen.
So this book surely has brought all of us from the outer court into the Holy of Holies. What is here in the Holy of Holies? There's only one unique item, that is the Ark of Testimony. And we know this is Christ. In the Holy of Holies, nothing is there but the all-inclusive Christ. Looking outwardly, he is just one item, the Ark of Testimony. But when you get into him, you have three items. Number one, the golden pot filled with manna and the budding rod and the law of life. Could you see this? These three things, the golden pot of manna, the budding rod, and the law of life, are the kernels within the kernel. Even you touch the Ark of Testimony, you're still not who? Because the tabernacle is for the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies is for the Ark. And the Ark is for the golden pot. And the golden pot is for the hidden manna.
Amen.
The last promise of the Lord Jesus was, he that overcomes, I will give him to eat the hidden manna. You please tell me, according to the record of the Bible, where is the hidden manna? And the hidden manna is the manna in the pot. And where is the pot? The pot is in the ark. And where is the ark? The ark is in the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
So, we all have to learn how to eat. How to eat the hidden manna. In order to learn how to eat the hidden manna, we have to know what is manna. The Hebrew word manna means, what is this? Manna is a typical term for Christ. What is Christ? Christ is just what he is. Christ is extraordinary. Christ is something so special. You just cannot rank him with anything. Christ is what is this in our understanding.
Well, Gary, this may sound a bit mysterious or perhaps even mystical to some of our listeners. The hidden manna within the golden pot being the portion for the overcomers. In practical terms, Gary, what is it to come to the Holy of Holies to eat this hidden manna?
Well, Matt, maybe again, turning to the scripture will be a little help to us here. We look again at John chapter 6. Toward the end of his discussion with the Jews, he makes this statement, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I will give is my flesh, given for the life of the world. The Jews then contended with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within yourself. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This kind of fellowship from the Lord, this kind of declaration really from the Lord, is very difficult to receive unless we have the realization, which we already mentioned, where he said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. So to eat the flesh of the Lord indicates that we are identifying with and receiving Christ himself as the element for our life. We are receiving him, his blood, as the element for our redemption. We are opening our being and receiving from God through Christ Jesus the very life of God and the very element of redemption, that we might live this life, that we might complete our service to the Lord here on the earth. So we are here enjoying God's presence in the holiest of all, indicating that we have come into a intimate fellowship with the living God. We have passed through the laver. We've passed through the altar. We've passed into the holy place. There we've eaten of the bread that is on the table, and we have been in the light of the lampstand. But now we've entered into the holiest of all. And there we find the ark. But within the ark is the golden pot with the hidden manna. What a glory and what a mercy that we can come into the presence of God and eat, receive into our being the very essence of our Lord Jesus.
Gary, in this coming section of the message, Witness Lee covered more than 10 aspects of manna as they unveil in type specific aspects of our experience of Christ. Due to the constraints of time, we can only touch a few of them in the program today, but this is a good example of why we like to recommend to people that they call in for the printed life study message to find out more information about how to get that, because it is complete in all these marvelous points. We'll give the toll-free number at the end of the program, but right now let's join Witness Lee for this very, very enjoyable portion.
I just would describe to you according to the two chapters concerning man. Exodus chapter 16 and Numbers chapter 11. From these two chapters, I have picked up at least more than 10 aspects of this one thing, manna. Manna, according to the Old Testament record, always comes early in the morning with the dew. In the Bible, dew signifies God's gracious visitation from the heavens. The best way for you to understand it is for you to go into Psalm 133, like the dew from Mount Hermon. When God comes to us as grace, that is the dew. Manna always comes with the dew. This signifies that the very Christ, who is our manna today, always comes with grace. With God's gracious visitation from the heavens. Every time when you touch Christ as your life supply, you do have the deep sensation that heaven comes to you. Heaven comes to you with a kind of watering. Then manna is so small. Yet the Bible doesn't give us the size. Not 1/8 of an inch, or 1/16 of an inch, or 1/32 of an inch. No measurement. Small yet immeasurable. Small yet without measurement. Do you know that our Christ has no size? Nothing smaller than he is small. And nothing greater than he is great. He is the greatest as well as the smallest. Nothing can exceed him. In greatness, nothing can exceed him. Neither in smallness, anything can exceed him. What is greatness? Christ. What is smallness? Christ. Then it is round, not rectangular, not three angles, four squares, not even a cube, but round. Round means something eternal. Without beginning, without ending, without any border. This is eternal. He is small, yes, but he is eternal. Eternal, but just good for eating. Not only coming with dew. Manna itself is like a frost. Do you know what is frost? It is something in between the dew and the snow. Dew is refreshing, but it is not so refreshing as frost. Dew doesn't kill the germs. Dew refreshes, but doesn't kill the germs. I tell you, all the germs could be killed by the frost.
Gary, this was such a delightful offering by Witness Lee, describing these aspects of manna that are so nourishing, so refreshing, and so enjoyable. These points are all wonderful, Gary. The frost, the dew, the smallness, and the roundness. But this is not all the views in Hebrews, is it?
No, and it's a great wonder that we can enter into these things and they become a part of us. The rich supply of this manna for 40 years supplied the children of Israel in the wilderness with everything they needed. This was their full sustenance. And for us to realize everything that we need is this manna that we eat today. Christ, the one who is everything to us. And we need a change in our diet. We need to come to a realization that nothing else satisfies. Actually, when we talk about food, we're talking about what satisfies us, strengthens us, sustains us. We're talking about something that meets the need of our very being. But we're also here recognizing we need a change in our appetite because we easily are focused on eating the things that America provides. All the entertainments, all the sports, all of the distractions from God Himself in Christ. We need a change in our appetite that we can eat and drink of Him and be fully joined to Him in this way.
Great program today, Gary. Thanks for coming in and joining us.
Thank you.
For Gary Kaiser today, I'm Matt Miller. Thank you for listening today.